And this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is Shatter Live, coming on a Friday night, January the 21st, 6 p.m. Going to look forward to a supernatural, listen, very providential, not only for this moment in time, but I believe for the archives, maybe some of you will know people that will want to know about the physics of God when it comes to glorification and what it means. This is absolutely incredible. I'm talking to you with a body that's getting older and older and older. Now, I've been around dead bodies, believe it or not, in law enforcement and seeing those bodies in a morgue, but also as a pastor, being next to the dying, next to the dying who are my family members. You know, death and dying is a big issue. And this last week, we've gone over Ray Kurzweil, the transcendent man, the issue in 20 years, they believe they can create immortality. Really? Is it anything like what I'm going to talk about today? What about homo lumos, homo deity? What about the new age evolution to homo lumos or the occult homo deity? Maybe the 2012 leap into a whole new human consciousness. Now listen, is any of that similar to or like glorification? Let me tell you right now that in theology, for all the theologians out there, that and all the pastors and teachers and those who love the Word of God and love what God has done in Christ, let me tell you something, that glorification is probably one of the most neglected aspects of this great salvation. The Spirit of God tells us clearly in the book of Hebrews not to neglect so great a salvation. And that is vital for us because it is unparalleled, unequaled, unprecedented. And listen, even when Jesus comes into your life and you know that you've been forgiven and you know that you've been loved and you know that Christ is there and you know that you have the gift of eternal life. Let me tell you something else, though. Let me tell you something else very clearly. You do not know all the aspects of that salvation until you actually dig into the revelation of God and begin to look. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a deep look into the physics of God in the coming glorification. It's more than just living forever. It's how we will live forever and where we will live forever and, who we will see, who we will be. Welcome to all the friends out there, satellite-wise, over these two continents and there in Boulder City, Nevada, locally. And internet-wise, we love you, we bless you, and thank you for the comments on Facebook. Listen, today I put up an old picture of my little dog, Mickey. Now, he's been gone a number of months, and it's been really, really, in this January, extremely quiet around here. He used to run out with me, jump into my old truck, and drive on down the road with me to the post office, and I would go through McDonald's. He would sit quietly waiting for one bite of those hamburgers. Now, I know some are going to get mad at me. You're not supposed to do that, but Mickey promised he wouldn't tell anybody. But anyway, he's gone, and found a little picture of him today, put it up on Facebook, and I cannot believe the comments. So just to let you know, thank you, and there's a lot of folks that really do love their pets, and I always get the question, do they go to heaven? All I can tell you is there's nothing in the scripture that says they don't. That's what I can clearly tell you for sure. But let's get into today, because glorification is just off the charts when it comes to what we can conceive in our mind. It's beyond, way off the pages when it comes to transhumanism, New Age homo lumos, old occultic homo deity, the concept of an evolutionary leap, 2012ers, all of this off the charts, and it's actually the thing that God wants to give. It's actually what is the real thing that God gives in Christ, and we're going to deal with the issue, and we're going to attack, and I hope you'll listen. If you're on that side of the fence, we're going to attack the counterfeit. We're going to attack literally the counterfeit that has been offered as a literally a preoccupation, as a distraction to steal from you what could be yours in Christ. It is what God wants you to have. Please understand, if you're listening to me now, maybe the atheist, maybe the agnostic, but more likely the transhumanist or the New Ager or the Luciferian or the 2012er, all looking to some form of to the great beyond. Now, I want to tell you a story. We're out doing evangelism one night, and sitting in that coffee shop was a demonized man. One of the workers was sitting with me, and then two girls had sat down in the crowded coffee shop talking to our folks and began to talk about New Age concepts and different things they were into and spirituality. And I happened just to look over and say, well, what happens when you die? And she just looked at me and instantly said, well, you go out there to the beyond. I said, where's that? They said, beyond. They raised their arms in the air. To the beyond. I said, well, where's that? Well, you know, beyond and beyond and beyond. There was no assurance, no definition. And let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring out the revelation of God that will blast out of the water the concept of a quasi-beyond. And literally unveil out of what the Spirit of God has given us something that all of creation itself, listen now, all of creation knows that it's coming. The angels of God, they know that it is coming. This glorified race is not yet here. There is only one. He is called literally out of the Greek prototype, the prototype. And we'll get to that in a moment. Hey, welcome again. Listen, in the scheme of things so far this year, there are two conferences coming up. And I want to invite you, because I was looking at the old conference pictures here in Canton with Tom Horn and others, and the others in St. Louis and Nashville. And again, such a great time where individuals, you know, joined together, and there was tremendous relationship building, and of course all the teaching and things that went on from everybody. But there was also those who've gotten saved, people that got prayed for, and people that got baptized. So the conferences are very, very ministry oriented. And there's two. New England, here we come, Connecticut. It is in actually Groton, Connecticut, and it's called CSEE. And then that's March 25th, 26th, 27th. And that's going to be, well, I think in those 3 days, there's going to be probably, we're already setting out. It looks like there's going to be a lot of big ministry, orientation of ministry, prayer, and evangelism too. So that's going to be a part of that conference. And then the politics of religion, April 1st and 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll be able to see the two picture posters of that up, and get more information on that. And don't forget, at the website, hundreds and hundreds of downloads of MP3s. And if you want more of them and more of them and more of them, it shows you right on there where to continue to go for all the uploads. There are literally hundreds, including series. We have Homo Satanus, ESP versus HSP on discernment. There is Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. So there's a number, there's dynamic discipleship, there's a series on the abyss, on the unholy trinity, on the spirit behind globalism. There's a series of courses, supernatural apologetics, theocentric counseling, freedom encounters, God the Holy Spirit, and the book of Daniel, confronting the powers, exposing Satanism, on and on and on, and more are coming, and they're just simply all free. So there they are, and we hope that you'll get a hold of some of those and be a part. In this hour that we're living in, as we started January 2011, we had a series called Perspectives, and I was giving perspectives for 2011. And I, back in that week, talked about how fast 2011 will go. I don't know how fast it's been for you. It has been very fast on this side of the fence here. And we have just, I can only say to those that are waiting in line for their phone call back or for an email back, that we're moving on those, and we're about a third of the way done. And we're seeking to do better than last year, which we are. But it's sometimes on the basis of hours in a day, you know, we're not able to get to every single thing. So we're trying. The Black Awakening book is out. Seeing Into the Future is coming. And Awesome Grace, Awesome Power is also coming. I hope to have those two books ready and out at the first conference in March 2011. And this week, the quest to rebuild the Tower of Babel. Here's part of the question. The quest is to make humankind better, to live longer, and even manufacture immortality. You know what? It tells us something. Ray Kurzweil and transhumanists and geneticists and biologists and others that are fighting for a victory over the death gene. Death in our DNA. Well, they're fighting over that issue and wanting to get to immortality. The issue is that if we stopped the death gene or were able to fix what seems to be broken, I think it's more than that. I think something was injected into humanity. God said it in the beginning, you know, in dying you shall die. Death is considered by God an enemy. By Michael Dodd and evolutionary folks that are into the evolution of the universe, into universalism, and have exchanged the glory of God for created things, well, there is there's a whole different kind of picture here. For them, death is a good thing. Death is, I mean, there's an explaining away of death, but it's like telling a person that has cancer that all they have is a scratch. Death is considered by God an enemy. Death is considered by God the results of opening the door to sin and the presence of Satan. And there's a psychological, an emotional, mental bondage that comes with it. It's spelled out in Hebrews chapter 2, that Satan himself has a direct relationship, inseparable, from not only death, but holding humanity in the fear of it. Oh, yeah, there's a great fear of it. Even psychologists have said that it's something we think about a lot, but something we hate to talk about. But it's here. I love the title of a book from years ago, The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. But I want you to know that it's more than just the death of death in the death of Christ. Or Oz Guinness, the English writer who wrote the great book, The Dust of Death, he talks about the resurrection in these terms, that by the resurrection of Christ, God has blasted away the finality of death. May I say it right now? The only one that could say it, the only one that did say it. And these words ring alive and true, and may they be impressed in your spirit, in your life, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, here is the hope of the ages. Jesus says it, Gospel of John, in the face of a dead man in a tomb where he has just said, roll away the stone. They told him that the body may be stinking by now. About 4 days in, it's going to smell. here is now not a psychic, not an alien visitor, not a rabbi, not a good spiritual teacher, but we have here Emmanuel. We have Logos in human flesh. We now have the infinite in human flesh coming for us, demonstrating his authority and power and over nature, over sin, over Satan, over diseases, over creation, and in this context, instantly over death. Could you imagine being there? Lazarus is dead in the tomb. 4 days in, stinking by now. The mourners are all around. Roll away the stone. It's where the smallest or the shortest verse in Scripture is recorded. Jesus wept. Check out the Greek word wept. This means that he deeply, deeply mourned, wept, cried. God in human flesh. Here's the emotions of God. The tears of God hitting the dust at the edge of a grave where Lazarus lie rotting. Now the body was there, Lazarus was gone, no doubt about that. Jesus says, I am, like all through the Gospel of John, he is, I am that I am. I was before Abraham. He's Yahweh Adonai in human flesh. And so he's able to say, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now those are the words that you can look and memorize and know the context of so that you can share, dear Christians, with friends at death's door, individuals in the hospitals, a declaration of, infinite words. They are alive, and I know they have the power to draw people to Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. No one else in all of history has said this. Only Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesu Christu. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In the context, Lazarus, come forth. Wow. Instantaneously. Now, this is not the glorification. This was a temporary resurrection. But it's something that blew the wigs off everyone around. The dead man came back to life. This means that by the sheer infinite physics power, however you want to describe it, of God, guess what happens? Guess what happens? His spirit returns, the body is healed, he takes a breath, it's all instantaneous, and Lazarus opens his eyes and stands up. All that's left is for Jesus to say, take the grave clothes off of him. A demonstration of the sheer, effortless, sovereign power of God. Lazarus, come forth. Now, this has happened since that time. If you look and see the Apostle Paul, this has happened in the last 2,000 years at times, in the name of Jesus, as a demonstration. You can call it a sign, you can call it a wonder, you can call it a miracle. It is off the charts, and it will be mimicked by the Antichrist in the future. It relates directly to the actual resurrection of Jesus himself, that not only does the Spirit of God raise Christ from the dead, as prophesied 1,000 years in advance, as Jesus said in the beginning of his ministry, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Effortless, infinite, sovereign power. Transhumanists, New Agers, 2012ers, old Luciferians, this is the physics of God. Yes, it's off the charts. yes, it's hard to conceive because it's not finite. Effortless because we're dealing with infinite. God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. So when you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and I would say read 1 and 2 together, and you're going to see there how the power, the dunamis, where we get our word dynamite or dynamic, of the Spirit of God exerted in the resurrection of Christ, exerted in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, Jesus did this also with a little child in a funeral procession, where out of compassion and out of a sign that would declare who he was, he raised the child back to life and gave the child to the family. This occurs again and then later on with apostles. This is what God is all about. Now, it's a declaration of the victory of God, the power of God, the working of God over the hellishness of death. Now, it's not about just how you die. Nobody wants to die in a fiery crash. Nobody wants to be died by being poisoned by somebody. Nobody really wants to die by disease. I watched a television program the other night where a parachuter got tangled in his parachute and he went flying to the ground without the actual chute. And I don't know what he thinks on the way down. Stop and listen now. I don't know what he thinks on the way down, other than he only has a few seconds to live. See, we are on the way down. If you're listening and you're not a believer in Christ, and even if you are a believer in Christ, the physical body is on the way down. It's not just aging. It's not just aging. It's way over the hill. Eventually, what we see is aging. You know, when we're young, we want to get older. That constant drive to get older, to get older, to get older, to get old, until we finally think we're old enough. And then finally, there's a day in which we look at ourselves and wish we were younger. And the older we get, we wish we were younger. And the older we get, it's almost in the back of our conscience, there is the haunting. Gonna die someday. Heart attack, disease, accident, on a battlefield, in the midst of crime. Either way, somewhere, someplace, because of the finiteness of this body, and that's why I think transhumanists and those involved in AI and everything else, maybe that's why there's this passionate desire to save ourselves. Because outside of knowing what's going to happen, outside of having the assurance, outside of, now let me just make it very plain, outside of the infinite, eternal Spirit of God inside of you communicating that that presence is a guarantee of what's to come, and what's to come is overwhelmingly more glorious than what you already have. However blessed your life is, believer in Christ, it is but a taste, a small little taste of what is to come. If you've been blown away by the salvation you have, the forgiveness you have, the empowerment you have, the knowing that you know that you know that you know God that you have, the joy of the Lord, the presence of God, and the power of God, and the miracle of God, if you've been blown away by that, I suppose in the glorification you may be speechless for some time. Someone may have to come by and literally smack you in the face and say, it's all real, you're really here, you're really seeing God face to face. And you're now in a body that is immortal, it is indestructible, it is irreversible, it is irrevocable. It is immortal. The tears, the pain of the past, even God, in that ultimate omni-relational attribute that he is, reaches out to wipe away the final tears, the history of the fall, the history of the pain, the history of the separation. What meant death, dying, separation from God wasn't meant evil, darkness, sin, dysfunction. Death. Death is an intrusion. Death is destructive. Death is a ripping of the spirit from the physical body and allowing the body to rot like a tomato in the ground. But all is not lost, that's for very sure, because whether 5 days ago or 500 years ago, those who die in Christ have an infallible, unshakable, unalterable hope. Explosive. We haven't experienced glorification, but I want you to know, if you're a believer in Christ, you've tasted. And if you are someone listening right now because you wanted to check out what Russ is going to say about transhumanism, 2012ism, Luciferianism, and all the rest, let me say this one thing. It is not about what we have is better than what you have. It is about what God has is better than what anybody has conceived. And obviously better than what is counterfeit and not real, only a mirage. So I passionately bring a message to New Agers, and there are literally now hundreds of millions. And I bring a message to the Luciferians that hate what we stand for, to those who are really the enemies, and to transhumanists and others, maybe a wealthy man listening who is buying into cryonics. You know, the old thing, cryonics at one time in life was a new thing. There's people's heads that are frozen in time, waiting for the day that consciousness, your human spirit, it's not just consciousness. You know, all the new studies on physics and everything else, it's not about just consciousness. You have a human spirit. It's who you are. It's what departs and rips out of your body when the body dies. Where does it go? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes says that when we die, our human spirit goes back to God who gave it. And the word of God says it is destined unto man once to die. After that, a judgment, my friend. See, the question is whether you have God or not. And if you don't, what's the reason you wouldn't want to have God, the Creator, the Redeemer? Do you have something really better? Do you oppose? Do you hate God? Listen, we've got some time here. About 32 minutes, we're going to go over some things concerning glorification, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and ask God to stretch out his hand, to speak it into your life, to those of you that are unsaved, that you will understand the magnitude, the cost, the personal presence and passion that is in salvation, and the desire of God that you be saved, whoever you are. For those who are saved, listen, use the word. It is an awesome thing. Don't neglect so great a salvation and all that it includes, because everything that it includes, total forgiveness, empowerment, freedom from the sin nature, freedom from Satan's legalities, freedom from ultimate death and eternal separation. Oh my goodness, the implantation of a new nature, the declaration of justification, a relationship with God. And as glorious as it is, and as awesome as it surpasses any other kind of spiritual experience in existence, it's but the taste before the whole meal. The physics of God in glorification. Well, there's five specific verses I'll give to you, five specific places. Harpezo, twinkling of an eye, resurrection. Well, transformation, and a reuniting. Let me mention five things quickly. Then I got eight other things to engage. Then I've got five things to give you in contrast. So let's take some time. Number one, harpezo. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now this is at the trumpet call of God in the descent of Christ, the parousia, the second coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are alive, if it's going to happen today, those of us who are alive right at this moment, the word is harpezo. It's used in Revelation 12 in reference to Christ himself. It is what some have said in the Latin, using the Latin rapture. It is the catching up. It is the instant catching up by a superior force. Harpezo. That's the word we should use more than anything else. And we should be able to define that word, that one little word, catching up. But it represents, again, the work of God by the hand of God, by the source of God, by the Spirit of God. It is the same presence and power as we see related in Romans chapter 1, who through the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, raised Christ from the dead. Or we read about the exerting of the power of God, the dunamis. Well, that's harpezo. In biblical revelation, that is, again, the infinite power, the physics of God, in the raising of the dead and the catching up of those who are alive in Christ in the parousia, the coming of Christ. And that would include, now that's spelling out that we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Let me tell you this. In this dead shall rise first, we who are alive being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, by the time you get there to meet the Lord, you're already glorified. This is the glorification. This is the first resurrection. Now, you surely do not want to be a part of the second resurrection, that's for sure. There is a second resurrection coming. Luciferians, listen. Atheists, listen. Those who have, you know, spit on Christ and have looked at him as something else. Those of you that have bought into New Age 2012, old occult views of a de-deified, fake, psychic, alien Jesus, you do not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. You do not have the gift of Omnion Zoe, the eternal life dwelling in you. You do not have the infinite Spirit of God dwelling in you, a gift at the moment of salvation. The guarantee, Ephesians chapter 1, and deposit of the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And that's glorification. Glorification is necessary for immortality, the eternal life we're talking about, being there, and not only seeing the hundreds of trillions of angelic beings and the life of that is there, you got to understand, Huronos, the heavens. Remember Jesus? This is how simple it comes down to it. Jesus on the cross, sin bearer of the world, your sin bearer, whether you reject him or not. Whether you agree, whether you believe, whether you accept, he did it for you. The prophets say it, the apostles say it, the Spirit of God says it, the angels know it, the demons know it. God has testified to it. Christ died for you, rose from the dead for you. Pas anthropos. Those are the words in Timothy chapter 2. As believers pray for the lost to be saved, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, wants, desires, pos anthropos, the sum total of humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Nobody wants you more, my friend. Every believer needs to understand God. Nobody wanted you more. Nobody wants you more. Nobody wants to see you more than God who has saved you in Christ. You think you're going to have great joy. There is great joy in heaven when one human being returns to God. All the angels rejoice. It is a joyous celebration in this God-given transformation, salvation. It's great to be saved. And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. May God give you the joy of your salvation all of this day, all of this weekend. May you sing, may you dance, may you enjoy, may you be so moved by it that you tell everyone without shame that this is such a great salvation. And all that it includes. Number one, harpezo, 1 Thessalonians 4, a catching up's coming. That's when we're glorified. Number two, 1 Corinthians 15. Have you ever read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can travel on down if you want to some of the other verses there, and go all the way down, if you would, to verse 50. It talks about how flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. The perishable cannot inherit what is imperishable, indestructible. So there is a mysterium. Mysterium, the mystery, is unveiled now in Christ. We're not all going to sleep, as it says, but we will be changed. Have you read this? I encourage you to memorize 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, immortal. We will be changed. It's a big Greek word. It is a vast and enormous big word. It involves the event of glorification. And I mentioned number one, harpezo. Number two, in the twinkling of an eye. But number three, resurrection. Christ's resurrection. And then yet he lived among the folks, teaching and sharing and ministering until the ascension, until he was glorified. Now, he knew that he was going to do this, John's Gospel 17. Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. The eternal God, Logos, coming in human flesh, standing in for us. Now, the resurrection of Christ is a prototype. Again, it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4. Here it's mentioned clearly that we will be raised. If you study the end of the book of Revelation, you're going to find out there's two resurrections. And you're definitely not going to want to be a part of the second one. To the Luciferian, to the Satanist, to the one that right now rejects Christ for whatever the reason, the declaration of the Word of God, the Spirit of God will communicate it to you. The second resurrection under the great white throne to eternal separation from God. God takes no pleasure in that. God's not willing that anybody perish. But the Word of God also says, 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish, you may perish, because you refused to love the truth and so be saved. You refused a Savior. You refused the work of God. You refused the Spirit of God. You refused the Word of God. You turned aside from a Savior that died and took your place. You kept your sin. You kept your sin nature. You kept your judgment of death. You kept your connection to the Dark One. You perish, and if you perish, and I pray to God that you do not, but if you do perish, your blood is on your head in the second resurrection. Oh, you won't escape it. It is what's coming down the pike. But here we're focusing on the first. And the glorification is inseparably the first resurrection. You can take again a look in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4 or here in Corinthians 15. There's other places that mention it. Number four, I want to mention that it's an incredible transformation. Philippians 3:21. Have you read it? verse 20, it talks about how our citizenship, our ultimate form of oversight, where we're really, really, what we're really a part of, our citizenship is in Huenos. My citizenship ultimately is already in heaven. I'm locked down, my friend. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm covered by the blood of Christ. God knows my name. And when this day comes, I am forever out of here. Jesus said it on the cross in almost a street-level way. A thief, a sinner, lost, separated from God. Now, what a place to die. What a place to die, right next to the sin bearer, right next to Christ, right next to God on the cross, who's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember those words? So the thief is dying, and he recognizes Christ. This is not a man. This is not a psychic. This is not an alien. This is not a rabbi. This is not a prophet only. This is not this. This is the Lord Christ. And so the dying, sin-packed thief looks at Christ. Remember me, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Only Jesus could speak these words. Only the sovereign God. Only the one who has the power, the physics to do it. Can you imagine hearing these words as you're dying on the cross as a sinner, and rightfully so? You're dying, you're a criminal, and your filth is on you. And the Savior, a sin bearer, a sinless one, never did any harm. You read about him. You look him up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The words should ring. I wonder what this sinner, thief, dying, bleeding, in pain, crying on a sinner's cross next to the sinless one. The declaration of Scripture about Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist knew. The Spirit of God knew. The angels knew. Even the demons knew. This is the Son of God. And so the thief hears these words. They had to have exploded into his heart and mind. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Declaration of prophecy from the Old Testament. Declaration of evangelistic invitation in the New Testament. Listen to me now, these words where Christ invites you. We read it in John's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus says it as he stands up among all the religious people. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being, he referred to the Spirit of God coming into you, welling up to the gift of eternal life. That's why he came. Jesus came to get us. Jesus came to beat death, sin, hell, separation, all of it. And he did. So in Philippians, we read the Savior who is coming, that our citizenship is in Huenos, heaven, from which, out of the heavens, by the way, we are eagerly awaiting a Savior. Not on earth, not some guru, not some transhumanist hybrid, not the Antichrist. We eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Kyrion, Yeson, Christon, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we wait for. Once dead, once raised, once ascended, glorified eternally. As a matter of fact, in a deeper study, if you want to go to the book of Colossians, Christ is the prototype, firstborn from among the dead. It is he is the prototype of what is to come. He is the one that we can look to see what a glorified, eternal, indestructible, immortal body is all about. If you read Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, in reference to Christ, who, him, Christ, will metaschizmazo, he will transform. New Agers, listen, metaschizmazo is used in reference to what God is going to do in Christ, what Christ will do in his return for those who have believed him, those who have received him, those who have received the gift of eternal life in Christ, metaschizmazo. We will be transformed, the physical soma, the body will be transformed from this lowly, humble estate. And there will be a it's two words. It has the word morph. Morph in it. In the glorification, there's also the word used here connected. Morph. The somatai, the lowly somatai, the body, in this metaschizmazo, there's a morphing that occurs instantaneous. And in this, here's what it says. Read that verse completely. You got to memorize that verse. Doxa. The very body Jesus has as he was glorified. Do you understand God coming in human flesh, dying, rising, ascending, being eternally glorified? We'll be made like that glorious body. We'll be made like that glorified body of Christ. It is by the energein or energein, the operative power of God, dunamai, the operative power in reference to the Spirit of God. Now listen, as I share this with you, as I bring this out to you, I'm amazed that there are many believers that don't understand the glorification. It's important that we understand this, and I mentioned this in point number three, the resurrection is included. Point number four, the transformation, the metaschizmazo, the morphing, the mortal, lowly body, rather, being changed in the doxa, glorious body, Philippians 3. And then point five, it involves a reuniting. Now, studied out John's Gospel 14. Jesus said he's going to build a place, and he's going to do it for one reason, to come back and get us and take us with him so that we can be with him. Ultimately, salvation, glorification, you know what the ultimate is? Being with God. It is relational. 2 Thessalonians 2, the parousia and our being gathered together to him. A reuniting. When you're saved and Christ actually lives in your life, you know him, you grow in him, but in glorification, hear me now, I'm going to go over 8 points now, there is nothing higher. Now, that's some of the biblical references, harpezo. It's a matter of fact, when you use the word in 1 Corinthians 15:50 on down, in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, it's the Greek word where we get our word atomic. In an unsplittable moment of time, on some kind of atomic, subatomic, on that level, from the immaterial into the material, the exertion of God, of his presence, of his power. It is God exerting, even if you've been dead 1,000 years, the resurrection. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, bones and dust. So what? It's all there. God knows. We're talking about the explicit omniscience and omnipotence of God. Let me give you 8 quick things concerning this glorification. Here they come. It is the ultimate goal of your salvation, number one. Hear it again. Number one, it is the ultimate goal of your salvation. Yes, you're saved now, but this is not the goal. We're growing in our development here. That is not the ultimate goal. God wants you saved. God wants everyone saved, actually. He's not willing that anybody perish. And if you're listening and if you perish, your blood's on your own head. You die without God, you'll never have him afterwards. So today, turn to Christ. Right now, you can. Right now, he's ready to come into your life, give you the gift of the Spirit of God, forgive you, love you, give you a new nature and a new power for living. Jesus will come into your life. The man on the cross died, but what Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, he was. Every Christian listening right now, I mean a real believer in Christ who has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, Romans 8. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. It's not about religion. It's not about cultural religion. Do you know God? Does God's Spirit in Christ dwell in you? Do you know Jesus? And if so, this great salvation, the ultimate end of it, glorification. See, at the moment of salvation, you are justified. And in the process of development, sanctification, that dynamic growing deeper and deeper and deeper into Christ. But it's the ultimate end. No matter how much, listen, no matter how many days you have to grow in Christ, in receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, glorification is what it's about. You've accepted the gift, the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You will be glorified, Romans 8, study it out, glorification. It's the ultimate goal. Number two, it is implanted in you at the moment of salvation. Again, I give you Ephesians chapter 1. The Spirit of God coming in, he is the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That's why believers in Christ all over the world, by the millions, know that they know that they know that they have the gift of eternal life. They know that absent from the body, they are present with the Lord right now. They know that if they die at this moment, their spirit will leave and go, and they'll be with Christ. But point number three, dying right now and going to be with Christ in spirit form is not the same as glorification. Glorification means the redemption of the physical body, the reuniting of body, soul, and spirit in a ultimate, unchangeable, irreversible, irrevocable, indestructible immortality. That's point number three. It's if you die now as a believer, you go to be at the Lord, that's awesome. You'll be there, see everything. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the word of God. The guy on the cross, he was going to that day be in paradise. He's been there since. But the glorification is yet to come. Not even Moses, Jeremiah, John Wesley, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. They're all there, but the glorification hasn't occurred yet. Point number four, did you know that creation knows that this glorification is coming? Somebody sent an email about this. Is this in reference to the coming sons of God? Yeah, read out and study out Romans 8. Creation is sentient. It has feeling. It groans because of the decay and the bondage it's been subjected to. The environment of the universe is infected with the fall, and it is looking forward to the day of the glorification. The sons of God, the technique of God. Now, this is the idea of glorification, the coming of the glorification, the real coming race. And creation itself knows that this is going to happen. It has knowledge that this is coming. So, New Ager, 2012er, transhumanist, understand, please, real creation that knows who its creator is also knows of the coming glorification and of the new heaven, new earth coming too. Point five, there is only one. There is only one glorification. You receive Christ now, though. Number six, Jesus, as I said, is the prototype. Colossians chapter 1, you can read about it. As glorified, he's the only one right now glorified. But based on what he is, as we read in Philippians 3, we shall be. 1 John, you can read it there also, that when he comes, we will be made like him. Point number 7, it is higher than the salvation we experience here in a fallen body. It is beyond the Adamic nature, the original nature of Adam and Eve. Glorification in salvation is higher than the original Adamic nature itself. Number 8, it's beyond any and all of any concept that is poured out of the New Age, old occultism, anything else. Now, here's a few things I got to tell you in these last 4 minutes. In contrast, it's not a human-based evolutionary transhumanist development seeking immortality, seeking to conquer death. The humanist, transhumanist, transgenic approach, man saving himself, man building his own Tower of Babel again. Listen, how's that working for you? The simplicity of a thief on the cross, Jesus Christ is Lord. Today you'll be with me in paradise. The physics of God, rightfully so, joyfully in my life so, infinitely beyond our understanding. Though we can read and learn and study things. It is not an evolution in like transhumanists' view of evolving to immortality somehow, some way, biologically beating the death gene, that kind of stuff. No. Number 2, it is not an evolution to homo lumos, to a luminary being, as millions in the New Age have been believing the spirits of the New Age. That is a counterfeit. It is not the old occultism, like the fallen cherub in Genesis 3, homo deity, that we're going to be gods. It is not 2012, a planetary spiritual leap in human consciousness to some kind of immortality. All of that comes from the fallen cherub in contrast to and in counterfeit to the coming glorification. The fallen cherub has not been able to become the infinite one. The physics of the fallen cherub, he doesn't have the ability, nor can he give it. Even in Genesis 3, when he promised the evolutionary leap to godhood, it's never occurred. Among the Gnostics, among the old mystery religion teachings, in the New Age, in occultism, among 2012ers, leaking into technology and into spirit-guided science, it'll never happen. The finite cannot leap there. Cannot jump there, cannot produce it. So what are you relying on when it comes to the ultimate? Do you know God? In knowing Christ and having the gift of the Spirit of God, the deposit, guaranteeing what's to come, you know that you know that you know. But what is to come, dear friend, is so glorious. By the Spirit of God's language, using human language on an atomic level, a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink, mortal will put on immortality, and you shall see God face to face. It's all based on the cross, my friend. All based on the cross. The music is here, my friends, and we've got to go. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in prayer, and please remember us in support. We love you. Good night.